The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send those comments to td@kpcg.fm. I got a nice email last night, by the way. A listener who said he wishes the program was longer. Wow, how about that? I don't. 1 hour is fine. 1 hour is about all that we can keep up with, but I do appreciate that encouraging feedback. Well, Bradley Manning is a transgender who now goes by the name of Chelsea. He, as some of you might remember, he was an intelligence analyst in the U.S. military, serving in Iraq, and he stole tens of thousands of pages of classified files. He stole them from the American military, files that had to do with the operations in Iraq and Afghanistan, and all kinds of other things, as you'll see here today with some of these articles that I'll read for you. But he was, at the time, he was upset. He was upset at the military. He wanted the army to see the futility of its security measures. So he leaked all of these documents into the public domain. All of these diplomatic cables, even information about a covert military operation. He was convicted and found guilty. Guilty of treason, really. Sentenced in 2010, I believe it was, or maybe soon after. Sentenced to 35 years in prison at Leavenworth. This from this morning's New York Times print edition. It says, President Obama on Tuesday commuted all but 4 months of the remaining prison sentence of Chelsea Manning, the Army intelligence analyst convicted of a 2010 leak that revealed American military and diplomatic activities across the world, disrupted Mr. Obama's administration, and brought global prominence to WikiLeaks. The recipient of those disclosures. I mean, this is how WikiLeaks was made famous. It was thanks to the efforts of Bradley Manning releasing all of these classified documents. Yesterday at a press conference, well, this is actually before the news broke last evening about President Obama's commutation with Manning, but Josh Earnest in this press conference, he had some harsh things to say about Edward Snowden, and not so much about Chelsea Manning. And they're trying to make excuses for this transgender. And you wonder how much of that even factors into this, the fact that he is now a she. Talk about scoring points with the transgender community. In any event, this is from the press conference yesterday, and this is Josh Earnest talking about WikiLeaks. This is clip one.
We have profound concerns about the way that organization, WikiLeaks, has operated, and we have expressed profound concerns about the way that some of the things that they have done and some of the information that they have released has harmed our national security, has put our military and our intelligence officers in harm's way, and made their dangerous work even more dangerous?
Right. It's harmed our national security. They've got profound concerns. It's putting American lives in danger, this organization, WikiLeaks, that was made famous by the theft of all of those classified documents and cables and such by Bradley Manning back in 2010. So WikiLeaks is bad, but somehow, some way, Bradley Manning is good. or the sentence against him was too strong, and he, now she, needs to be let out of jail. All of this damage to America's national security. And yet, well, what Manning did is not as bad. It's not really that bad. It's not as bad. Certainly not as bad as Edward Snowden. I mean, what Edward Snowden did, that's on a far more serious, far more dangerous level. So goes the reasoning in this administration and in the major media. The New York Times says here she copied hundreds of thousands of military incident logs from the Afghanistan and Iraq wars, which, among other things, exposed abuses of detainees by Iraqi military officers working with American forces, and showed that civilian deaths in Iraq war, in the Iraq war were probably much higher than official estimates. So it really made the United States look bad. And, well, this is good, the New York Times thinks, because these kinds of things need to be exposed. The file she copied also included about 250,000 diplomatic cables from American embassies showing sensitive deals and conversations, dossiers detailing intelligence assessments of Guantanamo detainees held without trial, and a video of an American helicopter attack in Baghdad in which two Reuters journalists were killed. She decided to make all the files public, as she wrote at the time, in the hope that they would incite worldwide discussion, debates, and reforms. Well, it certainly did that, and a lot more. As all of these files, these diplomatic cables, 250,000 of them, ended up in the hands of America's enemies. It says WikiLeaks disclosed them, working with traditional news organizations, including the New York Times, bringing notoriety to the group and its founder, Julian Assange. We worked together with WikiLeaks on this, the New York Times proudly admits. I mean, they're in on it. They're in on it with WikiLeaks. And so they applaud this action. Because after all, did he really, I mean, really, wasn't he more of a whistleblower? He's not guilty of treason. I mean, he's just blowing the whistle, this transgender, who, by the way, has tried to commit suicide now twice in prison. So we've got to have sympathy for him or her. All of this damage. You think about these prophecies. I've been, as I said yesterday, I've been going through the Ezekiel, the End Time Prophet booklet. Some sobering prophecies in Ezekiel 4, chapter 5 as well, chapter 6. And there was one verse together with that study this morning, just in reading Deuteronomy 28, the chapter about the blessings and the curses. It says in verse 29 of Deuteronomy 28, "And you shall grope at noonday as the blind gropes in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways." I mean, everything. It's everything that we do goes wrong. The military, the government, all of these secret files and cables, fully exposed, undermining America's national security. Treason, something that, well, not that long ago, that would have brought on an execution. And now, it's the president of the United States saying, well, 7 years is enough. You can go ahead and go. I mean, what you did was bad, but it really wasn't that bad. And, you know, we understand you've tried to commit suicide and you're troubled, so we want you to get help. It's astounding. It's like that verse says, everything that we do, whether it's those files being released and the damage it brings on America, or now releasing the prisoner and the damage this brings on America. What a message it sends. What a message it sends to America's enemies. What a message it sends to would-be hackers, ones that might even be in the military. This was Senator Tom Cotton's response yesterday. This is clip 4.
Chelsea Manning pleaded guilty to very serious crimes, leaking highly classified information that put at risk the lives of our troops and our diplomats, our intelligence officers, allies who have helped us around the world. This was grave harm to our national security. And you know, Chelsea Manning is serving a sentence and should continue to serve that sentence. There'll be a time to review her sentence and seek a parole in the future, and according to normal criminal procedures. But for the president, especially the president, who's made so much recently about the danger that WikiLeaks has posed our national security, to commute Private Manning's sentence, I just think it's very disappointing.
Disappointing, to say the least. I mean, he's gone on and on of late about WikiLeaks. You heard what Josh Earnest said just yesterday. All these profound concerns and the grave danger brought on by WikiLeaks. And here's the one that made WikiLeaks famous. He's going to be let out of jail in May. Senator Cotton here went on to say that Manning caused grave harm. Well, you heard it there in the clip. And what he went on to say was just how important it is to have that deterrent effect in place. In other words, that there be stiff penalties for people who want to undermine America's national security. But those stiff penalties are being removed, at least by this administration. Listen to what Senator Menendez had to say in response to President Obama's commutation of Manning yesterday, clip 5.
What happened here is that literally hundreds of thousands of documents were released. It put national security at risk. It put individual operatives at risk. It put our national interests at risk with other countries. And at a time that we are seriously questioning what Russia did as it relates to our recent elections and the role that WikiLeaks and a different iteration has played in that regard, I'm not sure what type of message we send here.
He brings up a good point. Here, all of these statements of condemnation aimed at Russia for interfering in the U.S. election and WikiLeaks involvement. And yet, we let Bradley Manning go. It shows Russia and others we're not real serious. In fact, Russia and China, they've been hacking the United States like crazy during this administration. And nothing has been said except now, well, you see, it's an excuse to say this is why Donald Trump won. It's because of Russian hacking. It's because of WikiLeaks. It's because of fake news. And so now it's a very serious problem. But the breaking news from yesterday reveals just how ridiculous it is. How unserious it is. They're not really concerned. They haven't been. I'll read to you later what Victor Davis Hanson says. I mean, here it comes right at the last of this administration, but yet all along, this is an administration that's been appeasing Russia. And it all fits right within the framework of Bible prophecy. Everything that we do, we're going to be groping in the darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways. It's just one hit after another for the United States. What message does this send to America's enemies? And then furthermore, what message does it send to would-be hackers? Here's what Senator Menendez went on to say, clip 6.
There are very serious consequences when you release the type of documents that she did. And at the end of the day, what message do we send for the next person who thinks that they can get a treasure trove of documents, release them because something inspires them to do so, and the consequences that flow from that? We have agents in the field. We have operatives in the field. We have security situations set up across the world, both through our military and non-military entities. We have interest in terms of our advocacy in countries abroad, which was also revealed here. So at the end of the day, there was enormous damage done.
Enormous damage. I mean, we have agents, operatives in the field, 250,000 cables. The New York Times said the disclosures, this is going back to, again, when it happened in 2010, the disclosures set off a frantic scramble as Obama administration officials sought to minimize any potential harm, including getting to safety some foreigners in dangerous countries who were identified as having helped American troops or diplomats. But here's what the New York Times concludes with. Prosecutors, however, presented no evidence that anyone had been killed because of the leaks. So it really wasn't that bad. Certainly not on the level of Edward Snowden. It did initially it did cause the Obama administration to scramble to get to safety some foreigners in dangerous countries who were identified because of this breach in security. You think about that prophecy in Ezekiel 7, I think it is. The trumpet sounds and none go to battle. And my father, as he's talked about for the last 15, 20 years, I mean, talking about this just like with the prophecy about the King of the South over 20 years ago, back when people would have said, what are you talking about? That's crazy. The U.S. military brought down because of hacking? Because of the computer system going down? And now look at where we are today, 2017, and all of this hacking, all of this cyber theft, cyber war. And what kind of a message, as he just asked there, what does this send? What message does this send to would-be hackers that would like to bring the United States to its knees? We are in grave danger, for sure. Grave harm was brought on the United States because of this man who now says he's a woman who won sympathy from the Obama administration, the commander-in-chief, David French, the conservative journalist. He wrote at the National Review that Manning disclosed details of American military operations, the identities of American military allies, and place sensitive American diplomatic relationships at risk. We may never know exactly how much damage he did. We may never know. It's ongoing. It's like an open wound, and it's just getting bigger. No matter how troubled Manning is, he breached faith with his brothers in arms. Armies depend on bonds of trust, and he knowingly and intentionally placed lives in danger by indiscriminately placing our nation's secrets in the public domain. He risked American lives. He risked allies' lives. It's not that long ago that actions like Manning's would merit execution, and he should be grateful that he merely received a 35-year sentence. Instead, however, both the Times, the New York Times, that is, and the Obama administration treat him more like a messed up kid than a soldier who betrayed his nation. Well, he's just a disturbed kid. He's just a disturbed transgender. And we need to help him. He's tried to commit suicide. So we need to help him. Well, French doesn't get to root causes here of why. Of course, it's all speculation, I suppose, of why the Obama administration would do something like this. Undermine America's security. There's that. And then there's the transgender side of this, which actually is brought up at The Spectator. The Spectator says Barack Obama's decision to commute the prison sentence of Private Manning is a final, disgraceful undermining of American interests by the outgoing U.S. president. Manning's decision to dump vast swaths of stolen information with the WikiLeaks organization, which then published them, caused untold and untellable damage to America and her allies. It revealed operational details which should never have fallen into the hands of America's enemies. Manning ensured that they were available not just to such groups and nations, but to the entire world. Everybody has access to it. He says here, The Spectator, and of course, leaks encourage leaks. It was no surprise that shortly after Manning, another low-level figure in what is meant to be America's security apparatus, Edward Snowden, stole and dumped yet another trove of the nation's secrets, a cache which proved even richer for the enemies of America, Britain, and our allies. See, Manning got it all started. He made WikiLeaks famous. He gave inspiration to Edward Snowden. And he's just been granted clemency. He's just been let go. Leaks encourage leaks. Where's this leading? Where are we headed? Well, it's headed for Ezekiel 7. It says here, I cannot help suspecting that the fact that Manning now says he is not a man called Bradley, but a woman called Chelsea, has made the former private's case an even more cherished cause for those who like to think they're behind all the right on, if not the right causes. You see, it's just another cause. It's all political. It's all according to political correctness, or it's all according to political bias. It's just politics. It's good politics. It sends a good message to the LGBT community and to the world, the administration thinks. The Spectator says, in any case, the pardon is a telling final gesture from the outgoing president. Aside from betraying his comrades and his country, Manning also betrayed many brave Afghans and others who had unwisely, as it turned out, trusted the country Manning so blithely betrayed. Just blithely betray the United States, and this is all the punishment that you get. The Spectator says, finally, in pardoning him, Barack Obama has sent out a message that if there's anyone in the U.S. Armed Forces or intelligence services who doesn't like something, then they should not speak with a senior officer or keep their concerns within the service. No, instead, anybody with any concerns should download the equivalent of truckloads of the country's secrets and ensure they are made available to the world, preferably through the most hostile anti-American activists available. And then the Spectator says, no country can effectively operate when it allows and encourages such behavior. Think again on that verse in Deuteronomy 28. In light of what he just said there at the Spectator, you shall grope at noonday as the blind gropes in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways. I mean, what more proof do we need to see that the curses are on us? No country can effectively operate when it allows and encourages this kind of behavior. And that's what yesterday's decision does. It encourages it. It's just going to make matters so much worse. You had Bradley Manning, the first one. He was the trailblazer. And then along comes Snowden. And then WikiLeaks is made famous. Julian Assange, and so on and so forth. The Spectator says, we knew that an America made incapable of operating effectively was the ambition of WikiLeaks. That's their aim. They want to undermine America's position and power in the world. We knew that an America made incapable of operating effectively was the ambition of WikiLeaks. How strange that it should appear to have been an ambition of a U.S. president as well. Strange indeed. Or is it? Because when you look at the booklet, America Under Attack, well, you see that this too was prophesied right out of your Bible, being undermined from the very top, just like what we experienced in God's church in these latter days. An entire church derailed spiritually because of corrupt leaders at the top. Switching back to that New York Times piece, in addition, Mr. Obama on Tuesday commuted the sentence of Oscar Lopez Rivera, who was part of a Puerto Rican nationalist group that carried out a string of bombings in the late 1970s and early 80s. He was let go yesterday as well. There were 209 commutations yesterday and 63 pardons. And the Times, like so many of the major media sources, brings out that, well, they're just mostly drug offenders. They were just smoking a little weed. No, it's Bradley Manning. It's a bomber from the 1970s and 80s. He was part of a nationalist group carrying out a string of bombings. But, you know, that was a long time ago. And let's show a little mercy. 209, just yesterday, 63 pardons. So you add it all up, and this administration has now commuted the sentences of 1,385 people and granted a total of 212 pardons. I suppose that's the final number, but, I mean, there's 2 days left, so who knows? Who knows? 1,385. And like we brought out to you last year in one of our programs, we just went through the rap sheets of some of these ones being set free. They're hardly low-level drug offenders. At least looking at so many of them. Well, in any event, switching over to that Victor Davis Hanson piece that I mentioned a moment ago, he has a devastating piece again about Obama's legacy of deceit. America under attack. We've seen it. We've seen it. Hanson says in its remaining days in power, the Obama administration suddenly punished Vladimir Putin's Russia for allegedly interfering in the U.S. Well, like Hanson brings out, where was this administration all those years that these massive cyber crimes were being committed? I mean, this is just becoming routine. And then now the administration lets Bradley Manning go. Slap on the wrist. 7 years for putting all these American lives in danger. 7 years for all for putting allies in danger. 7 year slap on the wrist for committing treason. And yet now, boy, we've got to sound tough with Russia because, well, Mr. Trump doesn't sound tough with Russia, so it's a good way to oppose Donald Trump. You see, it's all politics. It's all politics. Hillary Clinton didn't make it in. We all thought that she would. And so it's politics. She got in because of fake news. She got in because of lies. Or rather, she didn't get in. And Mr. Trump won. But it's not legitimate. That's the thinking. Well, Hanson brings out here how that the administration for the past 8 years, it's been appeasing Putin. It got rid of the missile defense in Eastern Europe. There was the infamous promise of more flexibility, the open mic incident, I guess, what was that, 2012 or wherever, whenever. Nothing done. Nothing done with Russia's advance on Crimea or Ukraine. All that criticism coming into power, criticism of George Bush, criticism of Mitt Romney. Well, what are you concerned about Russia? What are you concerned about Russia for? You know, the 1980s called, and they want their foreign policy back, he said in that debate with Romney. Well, Hanson brings out in this article the legacy of deceit, just rattling down the list. Benghazi, and how a lot of these leaks, these so-called leaks, have revealed the deceit. You would think for that reason alone, they'd want to keep Manning in prison. But no, because there's another component to the agenda here that really does benefit. You see, this cherished cause of defending the transgenders, and so that's on a higher plane. We've got to let him go. He's troubled. She's troubled. The Benghazi cover-up, the lies about Obamacare, the chief architect of Obamacare saying that we managed to get it through thanks to the stupidity of the American people, the stupidity. Bo Bergdahl, here's another traitor that was barely given a slap on the wrist. Hansen says to gain Bergdahl's release, the Obama administration fabricated a completely different narrative to justify the embarrassing swap and concessions to the Taliban. Bergdahl, in National Security Advisor Susan Rice's words, served the United States with honor and distinction. That's what they said about Bergdahl. He served the United States with honor and distinction. We'll invite his parents to the White House. Look, we'll do anything to establish a false narrative, to justify this shameful swap, these shameful concessions. And who can ever forget the Iran nuke deal? Sold as a bold and courageous step for the United States, by the Obama administration, that is. But here again, covered by deceitfulness and subterfuge. And then Ben Rhodes out there, here again, ridiculing just how stupid the press is. How you can fool them with a false narrative, no problem. It's no problem for us to do that. And these 27-year-old journalists, they can go right along with it. They're so dumb, they're so stupid. Bragging about the lies. Hansen says other examples of dissimulation exist from Obama's about-face on border enforcement, in which he redefined deportation and reneged on his promises to enforce existing law. To the linguistic gymnastics he employed to mask the disastrously abrupt pullout of peacekeepers from Iraq. He called ISIS the JVs. They weren't really a serious threat. Hansen says most recently the administration has not been candid about the details of its latest estrangement with Israel. Obama and his foreign policy team hid the fact that they had helped to engineer a UN resolution condemning Israel by suggesting to the public that they were unaware of the depths of apparently spontaneous expressions of anti-Israeli anger. Well, yeah, we didn't step forward and oppose it, but I mean, we didn't know this was coming. We didn't have anything to do with it. In fact, America did. Hansen concludes here, Obama's team believes that the goals of fairness and egalitarianism more than justify the means of dissimulation by more sophisticated elites. Thus, Gruber, the stupidity of the American voter, and Rhodes, they literally know nothing. Those are their direct quotes. Gruber, enforcing through Obamacare, the stupidity of the American voter, and Rhodes, on fooling the American media, they literally know nothing. He says they employ deception on our behalf. See, they're doing it for the good of America. They're doing it for the good of the American people, they think. And so it's all right for them to be deceitful. It's all right for them to lay down a legacy of deceit. Hansen says central to this worldview is that the American people are naive and easily manipulated and thus need to be brought up to speed by a paternal administration that knows what is best for its vulnerable and clueless citizenry. They know best. Bergdahl, we know how to handle this. The Iran nuke deal, we know how to handle this. Obamacare, we know how to force it through. We know how to write it up. Thousands of pages of it in all of this torturous language so that it can just pass right on through. And we'll rely upon the stupidity of the American people. Because this is for their own good. Such condensation condescension. Such condescension is also why the administration never believes it has done anything wrong by hiding the facts of these controversies. Its players believe that because they did it all for us, the ensuing distasteful means will be forgiven once we finally progress enough to appreciate their enlightened ends. And so that has been the legacy. Nearly 8 years now. And really, as I've been covering this week, what's more shameful, almost, about all of this is that the major media elites, they're right on board with this agenda. They're in on it. They're in on it. Earlier this week, the Washington Free Beacon, they put together this, you might remember or have heard, of the final interview that President Obama had with 60 Minutes and its reporter Steve Croft on Sunday night. And this is somewhat humorous, but really, when you listen to the collection of all of these snippets, and then especially when you hear what Steve Croft says at the end of this montage to another reporter about why President Obama really liked him and 60 Minutes so much, is quite revealing. This is the montage Washington Free Beacon put together about the love affair that 60 Minutes has with this administration. Clip 7.
So here we are.
Here we are.
We went to Illinois nearly 2 years ago to do a story on a young, charismatic senator named Barack Obama.
We have a new CBS poll, and I'll give you the news that's good for you first.
This is very improbable. This is not an interview I ever expected to be doing. But I understand, Mr. President, this was your idea. Why did you want to do this together, a joint interview? How would you characterize your relationship right now? I'm going to spare you reading some of the things that you said about each other during that. What about the spouses? Well, is that an impertinent question?
What I was going to say.
Did you ever doubt it was going to happen?
Of course.
When?
Well, let's see. About a year ago, we were down 30 in Iowa.
People like you. They respect you. They think that you're working hard.
There have been moments when you've said, what did I get myself into?
Where do you get all this confidence?
When was the first moment that it began to sink in that you were president of the United States?
That they think that you've lost your mojo, that you've lost your...
I'm sure that drives you crazy.
Was it love at first sight?
No.
So have you gotten into a routine?
I have.
How are you finding the job?
It's exhilarating.
How many decisions do you have to make a day?
Can't count them.
You didn't have one of these when you were a kid.
I sure did not. I thought we were going to get like two swings.
Your approval rating is 4 times higher than the Congress.
It's a low bar.
You gotten lost in here yet?
I have, repeatedly.
I think that the country deeply appreciates the fact that you have not spoken clearly, I think, probably what's on your mind in relation to President-elect.
Hey, time out a second.
Now,
I've got to defend my bowling honor here.
Why you? I mean, why do you think you would be a good
president? Well, I was going to get to that.
Oh, okay, okay. Go ahead.
Why do you think he keeps coming to you?
I think he knows that we're not going to play gotcha with him, that we're not going to go out of our way to make him look bad or stupid.
And that's certainly the truth. For 8 years, CBS certainly hasn't gone out of its way to make him in the least bit look bad or stupid. They're not going to play gotcha, not with this president. The Beacon had another one on Chris Matthews. Even worse. I don't have time to play it. It goes on for 4 or 5 minutes. That's NBC. Unbelievable. The love affair. Even as they ridicule them, they literally know nothing. They know nothing. That's what Ben Rhodes thinks. He's President Obama's top advisor. And yet the love affair continues. In fact, even in the press briefing yesterday, the one where I played Josh Earnest's comments on WikiLeaks, strong condemnation for WikiLeaks. And yet this was right before Bradley Manning was let go, or the decision was made to let him go in May. But given that this was Josh Earnest's last press briefing, this is what he had to say about the Washington press corps, clip two.
But I assure you, if you, the most talented, experienced, effective press corps in the world, didn't play your part in our democracy, we would all notice. Your passion for your work and its centrality to the success of our democracy is a uniquely American feature of our government. It's made President Obama a better president and a better public servant. And it's because you persevere and you never go easy on us. So even though it's my last day, you better not let up now. So in that spirit, let me say for the last time standing up here, Josh, you want to get started with questions?
Thanks, Josh.
I'm not interrupting because he was saying nice things about you guys. Because I largely concur.
He largely concurs that, like Josh Earnest says, this is the most talented, experienced, effective press corps in the world. And you know, it's been good, the back and forth, and this is a press corps that's never gone easy on the Obama administration. And then President Obama himself, as you heard, walks in, and there's cheering and there's clapping. Well, really, if you heard the last statement there that Earnest made, you know, you haven't gone easy on us, and well, you better continue. You better continue playing hardball. The translation of that exchange you heard there is that you better go after Trump. What kind of coverage do you suppose Donald Trump's going to get from 60 Minutes? Do you think 60 Minutes is going to get to the end of 4 or 8 years of a Trump administration and then Steve Croft go on another news show and say, you know what, I think he kept coming back to us because we never played gotcha. I think Donald Trump came back to us because he knew that we weren't going to go out of our way to make him look bad or stupid. This is the most talented and experienced and effective press corps in the world? Really? It's so obvious. So transparently obvious. Not just the bias, the radical left-wing bias. And, well, you already see how the press is going after Donald Trump, and he's not even been inaugurated yet. It's interesting. I mean, when you compare those sentiments you just heard from Josh Earnest, this is what Donald Trump had to say yesterday about tweeting and about his experiences with the most talented, experienced, effective press corps, or just the major media in the world. Clip three.
What about Twitter? You going to continue to tweet?
Yeah, look, I don't like tweeting. I have other things I could be doing. But I get very dishonest media, very dishonest press. And it's my only way that I can counteract.
It's going to be very different these next 8 years, or 4 years, or shorter. It's going to be very different. That to paraphrase something Mr. Trump often says, that I can tell you. It's going to be very different. They're already coming after him. He's enemy number one. Not so with the outgoing administration. And never mind the legacy of deceit. Look, they're doing what's best for us. Now, Trump, he's not. He has to be brought down. So you got to brace yourselves for what's coming. It's going to be a knockdown dragout, and thankfully we can fit it all within the framework of Bible prophecy. as we say goodbye to this Antiochus type. And hello to the Jeroboam type. Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. Everything that happens, every turn, every twist and turn along this course. And you keep coming back to what it says there in Deuteronomy. You shall not prosper. Now, it's not that we're excited about this. It's just that that's what's happening. And it's a lead-in, it certainly is, to many of the most sobering prophecies in the Bible, including Ezekiel 4, 5, and 6, which is a lead-in to the greatest news this world can ever know, the return of Jesus Christ to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Don't forget to email us this week. You can send those comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily Radio Show airs every morning at 7 a.m. Central Time on KPCG 101.3 FM in Edmond, Oklahoma.
And welcome back to the program. Well, as you can see from your clocks, we have moved quite a ways through this particular Trumpet Daily Radio Show. I had another segment here lined up about Russia and China. China in particular really stepping up to fill the leadership void that we're seeing in the world today. But I don't have time to really get into it. I'll hold back on that. I guess we almost do have enough material for 2 hours, a two-hour radio show. Can you imagine? Well, I don't want to disappoint the listener who hopes for that. We might actually end a little early than today, but I'll, in the next couple of minutes, go through a few emails that some of these are a little bit older. They kind of kept falling to the end of my notes in the last week or two. So with just a couple minutes left, it's a good time to check some of these off of the to-do list. This one here in response to that show a week and a half ago on the truck ramming in Jerusalem. It says, I appreciated today's program, especially about Isaiah 58 and fasting. You're right that there is a spirit of hatred toward the Jews. There is also a tendency in human nature to be scared of the aggressive party in a dispute, so to place all demands on the more reasonable side in order to appease the aggressor is very unfair, and it only leads to problems. That came in last week. This one came in a couple of weeks ago from New Zealand about the daily pilgrimage. All of these programs, by the way, you can get to them at thetrumpet.com and also at kpcg.fm, the podcast. You can listen to them. You can also have those podcasts downloaded to your phone through iTunes or some other source if you like. and take them around with you, as many of our listeners do. We have several who are on the road a lot, even truck drivers who are out there with their phones and these downloaded podcasts, keeping up with the Trumpet Daily radio show. Thank you very much, it says here, for your very inspiring program, the Daily Pilgrimage. It reminded me of how sleepy old me once prayed to God to get up at 6:30 a.m. each day, and suddenly I was waking up at 5 a.m. each day to start reading the daily news, meditating, reading the Bible, and praying. I must say that at that time of the day, the mind is relatively clear, refreshed, and insightful. Thank you for your explanation of the subtleties and nuances of the proper meaning of the scriptures, which we unconverted people would never understand without the help of God's ministry. It says your message is very insightful and very insightful, that success in our daily lives and in helping the work starts off with our prayer and breaking through to God, with whose help anything is possible. It says his grace is indeed sufficient for us, and his strength is made perfect in our weakness as we endure difficulties and keep on going, looking to God to help us as the relatively insignificant and temporary little works in progress we are, but with such awesome potential given to us by our Maker. It says, so please keep your invaluable broadcast coming out to us each day, the only reliable news service in the world, backed up with extremely helpful advice on how to live our lives as our loving God says is good for us. This one here in response to a program Richard Palmer gave a couple weeks ago, How to Make America Great Again. It says here, thank you, Mr. Palmer, for this program and the stunning conclusion to the 9 points. It says, I could not see how quality of diplomacy could possibly be so important to national survival and greatness. I was stunned by the conclusion of only repenting to God that could lead to God giving leaders, giving us leaders again. Thank God he is preparing leaders even now to lead all nations to him and blessings forevermore. Thank you for the correction and making me see how I can have a part in making America and the world great again under the greatest leader, Jesus Christ. He says, excellent program. And then one last one here. This was in response to Barack Obama's fitting finish and the remilitarization of Germany. That's a program that I think we produced maybe 2 weeks ago. The comment comes in from Edinburgh, Texas. It says, this was one of the most fascinating radio programs. I found it as fascinating as Brexit, and as fascinating as the wall in Germany coming down, because how the radio program connects the dots to Bible prophecy and makes it come alive in today's news. I'm glad you were there to show how the U.S.'s shameful behavior at the U.N. against its brother Israel fulfills Bible prophecy. That one there comes in from Texas. If you'd like to send us a comment, you know where to email us. Just send those to td@kpcg.fm. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you again tomorrow.